Hey folks, welcome to the show. And hey Sharad, we are having a slightly topical conversation today, even though it doesn't completely correlate with our guest's business and business model. But yesterday RBI spiked up risk rates for unsecured PLs. Today we have
How much was it?
Yeah, from like about 25%. And but our today's guest stays away from unsecured PL. He runs a gold loan aggregation platform by the name of Sahi Bandhu. It's a great pleasure to have with us Rajesh Sheth, co-founder and CEO of Sahi Bandhu. Rajesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Nikhil, Sharad. And yesterday's RBI announcement exempted housing loan and gold.
Yeah.
So we are not that going to be impacted.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the regulator is becoming more and more sensitive towards the retail segment, especially. And compliance is also becoming tighter and tighter. So we're closely working with the regulators. So we're part of PACE organization where, so we, as an industry body, we represent if there is a common interest. Yeah, clarity needed. We continuously engage. So that's an ongoing process. Thanks for the opportunity given to us. Pleasure to be on your show.
Absolutely. Likewise. And I think from the RBI standpoint, it's a clear signal on how it wants things to get framed out. Me and Sharad, we look at these things more as a market participant rather than as an operator. So obviously looking at everyone from Bajaj Finance, Axis, those stocks are all down 2-3%. So it's going to be interesting for the next few days. And we are looking forward to the management commentary on how they are planning to deal with this part of the portfolio. But that being said, a few quick introductory words about Sahi Bandhu. It was incorporated in 2019. And incubated by the Manipal Group and backed by the Manipal Group, you're a trusted gold loan aggregator platform. We understand you have a tier 2, tier 3 city focus. And currently in terms of scale, I think 5,000 crores of loans have been disbursed to date and around 300 crores are being disbursed every month. These figures might be a bit dated. Happy to learn what's the internal picture. But yeah, great to have you with us. What we can probably do to start this conversation would be, before we kind of go into Sahi Bandhu on a specific basis, would love to, understand from your vantage point the entire gold loan competitive ecosystem, in the sense that like we are all here obviously convinced and sold about the size of the market, right, in terms of the sheer volume and tonnage of household gold that Indians have and how that value can get unlocked. That's from a market standpoint. Would love to hear from you, what are the major buckets of competitors and companies in this ecosystem, in the sense that we obviously hear a very vertical focused traditional NBFC like players in the south of the country. A few of them are listed. We hear about obviously scheduled commercial banks who have this as a part of their offering. There are some consumer finance focused NBFCs who also have gold loans as part of their portfolio. Yeah. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you have these new age fintechs, who are looking at everything from gold loans to digital gold. And I have a feeling you are more you're slightly more in the latter category rather than in the former category. But before we kind of, create those frameworks, would love to hear your take on the ecosystem. And from there, the segue that we would like to go into is the differentiation that Sahi Bandhu brings to the table.
Sure. So from a market perspective, so I would put it broadly. If you look at, there is an organized market and there's a large unorganized market when it comes to gold loan. Though now, from a banking perspective, Jandan, we've created, everyone is, I would say, banking. Now, from a banking account perspective, but in terms of access to credit, still there is a large. If you take gold loan as an example, 2/3 of the market is still in unorganized.
Interesting.
Where people, every household has gold, some amount of gold that is with them. And gold traditionally has been one asset that people have kept as an ornament as well as an investment for future, and then in harder days that comes to their rescue. But more so in tier 5, 4 kind of a city, still people go to a money lender because of the ease at which that they can give, and they know each other, so he'll give the money in 5 minutes, but it comes at a cost. So that's a large market that is still to be explored, addressed, and there is a shift happening. That shift from unorganized to organized is moving fast by every year. So that's a large segment which is untapped. That's for the next decade or beyond. Just to give you a scale, the organized market is about 7.5 lakh to 8 lakh crore per annum. But then double of that is still in unorganized.
Right.
So I'll not cover the unorganized for the moment. Within organized, if you look at 25% is dominated by the gold loan NBFCs, the names that you took, south-based, but offering across the country.
Yes.
They originated from south, but then their strong points are across the country. And they created a niche for themselves. They hold still about 25% of the organized market. The rest is held by the banks. Within the banks, you have public sector banks as well as private sector banks. So public sector banks have been very aggressive in the recent years, but the private sector banks took the lead in terms of taking this product to the masses.
Right.
So if I look at historically, up till year 2000, it was all unorganized segment that dominated the market. From 2000 to 2010, that decade was ruled by NBFCs, gold loan NBFCs. They created a niche. And thanks to them, all the big branding that they did with names like Akshay Kumar, Amitabh, being their brand ambassadors, really created a niche for themselves. And they created value for customers who would have gone to money lenders. They came to organize NBFCs. But then the next decade, 2010 to 20, banks came into forefront because they had the reach as well as ability to give credit at an affordable rate compared to NBFCs. But this decade, that is 2020 onwards, players like us, who are aggregators, platforms, who have played a major role in terms of channelizing the entire gold loan market towards the banks. So our role has been to identify potential customers or who are in need of access to meeting their financial needs. Gold becomes one of the means by which we are providing. So gold is not the end. So gold is one of the means by which we are trying to solve. So we are going one step behind. So our differentiation comes in terms of giving multiple choices to the end customer, like any other aggregator platform. So we want to remain that way. From a consumer perspective, there are a lot of products that are available in the market from various banks, which is the right one for them, considering their need. That's where we have created a platform where we have an assisted model where we use our app to give them the right product, right choice. So that's the overall market, I would say.
Yeah.
In aggregation space, there are players like us who are majorityly the fintechs or the gold tech players. Some have specific model like us, but some are slightly having a differentiation in terms of having their own NBFC play.
Yeah.
But we are very clear that we would like to remain an aggregator platform where we don't book any loans in our books.
Got it.
We will give multiple choices, but finally get the loans done through the partner banks that are onboarded through our platform.
So these are tied arrangements, I understand, right? I mean, like the play here is not as a, it's not like a bank bazaar or a policy bazaar type of framework where anyone, everyone, and I can discover the best possible product through a marketplace versus the model where you have, I would say, preferred or tied lending arrangements, and effectively you curate or source demand for them and vice versa.
That's right. So we are bank agnostic. We want to remain neutral. We would like to have as many banks as possible on our platform so that we give multiple choices to customer. Somebody comes to us looking at the closest bank branch available. Somebody comes who can give me maximum LTV for the same amount of gold that I have. Somebody says, I need in half an hour. Somebody says, I need the best ROI. I don't mind taking a lower LTV. So, but then for them to figure out which is the right choice, they'll have to go to five different banks. Branches, websites are not that clear. Everything comes with a star. But since we work with multiple banks, we can give them the right. If somebody says, I have 100 grams gold, we can give them the right multiple choices. And then we will, based on the need, for example, our key differentiation has been to identify what is the end use of this money that they're going to utilize for. Then we give them the right choice. So that's been our role. And we have been successful by giving multiple choices to customer. And then clearly focus has been semi-urban and rural. 75% of the gold holding in India is in this geography. And that is where the maximum demand is. Rest of the, all the players are playing in tier 1 and 2. Where from a volume perspective, you may get immediate numbers there. But the unmet need is in tier 3 and beyond. That's where we have been successful. Our business also is close to about 70% is coming from semi-urban, rural, what they call as Suru, from a banking college. So that's where our sweet spot is.
When you sort of look at the unorganized setup, right, and when you're talking about tier 3 markets and maybe tier 2 and beyond, how do you sort of educate the customers on the existence of a platform where there is some kind of price discovery or there is more bespoke product available, when perhaps they already have relationships available or there is a local lender that they know and sort of built a reputation? And what are the USPs other than discovery? Are there clear pricing and LTV related benefits that a customer also gets through the platform once you sort of move away from the unorganized setup?
Yeah, definitely. So this is a product that can't be sold purely online. So there is a human element because somebody has to touch and pin the gold.
Correct.
And this product is such that people want to discuss with somebody whom they can trust. That's why Sahi Bandhu name also, we consciously chose this name because gold is still a taboo. People do not want to openly discuss, but that's changing. The society is slowly changing. People we educate people saying that it's your gold. Rather than going to a money lender and borrowing money at an exorbitant cost, you have an asset. I'll take you to the bank, give you the right amount of loan at a very reasonable, attractive rate of interest. Advantage of coming to is we don't charge anything extra to customer. What they see at a bank branch is the same product that we offer through our platform. So they get the best product that is available. And what we do is we bring in the convenience and that entire pre-selling journey, which they would have gone to a bank branch and many times they have inhibitions. Bank is too crowded. Will they give me the attention? Will I get all the information there and then? Or can I get all that information through you? And then I'll do everything and then I'll map the right product and the right bank to them, knowing their product. I onboard them through my platform. I collect all the information which I pass it on to bank branch. And then when they go to bank, it is only a minimum assessment and other onboarding journey that the bank does. Otherwise, traditionally, they would have taken 2 hours. Coming through us, they'll take hardly 15 to 20 minutes for the loan dispersal at the bank branch. And then, unlike some of our peers, we were very clear from day one, the customer should not be seeing us as something where they'll have to pay two people, two entities, bank as well as us. So our model is very clear. We don't charge anything from customer. Some of our peers do charge some convenience fee or in some way or the other. But after some time, the customer realizes that I'll be paying more if I go to this platform. So that will not work in the long run. So that's how we have kept our model.
The assessment of the quality of gold on one side and pre-underwriting and secondly, the post-underwriting collections, those responsibilities through that value chain, what all responsibilities come under your gamut?
So we provide three types, I would say, in terms of service model, delivery model. One is at customer's doorstep, wherein assessment also comes as part of our responsibility. But that's a still smaller portion because we have started it in the recent months and then we have not rolled it out across the country. We do have plans to take it to 100 cities. We operate in almost 600 cities, out of which presently we are only about 8 locations that we have provided doorstep. That's too early stage now. But their assessment is our responsibility. Complete customer onboarding, including KYC through bank, is our responsibility. And the disbursement happens at customer doorstep, where it is a complete digital journey where customer is not signing any documents. Everything is done digitally. In case of in-branch, we do all the onboarding, but the assessment is done. We do based on customer's information, because generally customers know how much the gold is weighing. Each ornament they know. Typically, it is 12 gram, 15 gram, 20 gram. So we, together, 5 jewels put together, maybe 80 grams. Based on that amount of information that the customer gives, we arrive at an overall LTV for that loan. So that there is no mismatch. Many times, customer says, my gold is worth 5 lakh. They think that 5 lakh loan is available. But then there is a strict RBI mandate in terms of 75% LTV.
Right.
And there also banks generally are around 70-72%. So we give them a fair indication in terms of what is the expected loan for this asset. So there the assessment is done by the bank. Post the loan dispersal, the repayments is respective bank takes the responsibility in terms of sending out their own communication. But we also play a role in terms of sending all the communication reminders to customer. But we don't carry the risk of anything related to the loans going. So that responsibility is not ours because it's a secured asset for the banks.
In terms of the service model, like you mentioned onboarding, you mentioned assessment, the disbursement, then collections. I mean, want to spend a bit of time on the actual underwriting framework here. Because, I mean, when it comes to gold loans, I mean, it's a kind of a secured asset. One point is obviously the valuation of the asset itself, right? That you can obviously do internally or you can do it through a third-party vendor. What are the other levers that come? Is uses of funds? Because I briefly heard you were alluding to that point as well. Like, how do you triangulate onto that? Because this is not a closed-ended loan product, like, at the end of the day, right? So how do you kind of, you know, add those... I would say, what are those inputs that you seek out for and how do you, you know, go about it?
Okay. So, see, for us, everything revolves around the customer, knowing that customer deep, having the deep insights about the customer. If you look at 2 years ago, the loans that we have done out of 3 lakh customers, initial months, we had only basic, I would say, demographic details. But over a period of time, we have created a business intelligence team, vertical. So more and more data is being collected. One is purely what the bank wants from a loan disbursement, loan application. So those fields we collect in any case. But beyond that, we also have much more information about the customer, their family, what is their profession, do they have other loans, are they into business or working, even in business. Do they employ people? Do they own a four-wheeler, two-wheeler? So we have all the information that we need from an underwriting perspective to know the customer better. And we do pass on this additional information also to customer, saying that here is a businessman who is, whom we are seeing that every 3 months he's coming back for the loan. And there's an opportunity for us to offer him, one is gold-backed OD that we give. But then beyond that, there is a credit line that the bank can offer to customer for his day-to-day business working capital needs. So we are keeping some of the information for the future requirements where beyond gold is what we are looking maybe in year 2025. Definitely, we want to introduce few more products beyond gold. For that, it is needed. Even for the gold loan underwriting perspective, there's CIBIL check that some banks do, some banks do not want the bill check. But then it gives us perspective. Is the customer coming to bank for any of the retail product first time? Or gold loan is the first time that he's coming? So that's an important information for us. New to gold loan or new to bank?
Yeah.
that's a category that we are creating and closely watching.
Is that a large pie for you, like the NTC?
Yes. So 30% of our customers are not gold loan customers, but they have experienced gold loan through NBFCs.
Got it.
But then now we are shifting them from NBFC to the banks.
Got it.
So it's almost 30% of the customers are new to bank from a gold loan perspective, but not new to gold loan as such.
Right.
They've experienced it. And then there's a segment that is opening up in terms of needs. More and more deeper you dwell into the end use, you'll discover people are using it for meeting their travel requirement, people who are going abroad for jobs, for example. Even to apply for a visa, you need to keep minimum amount in the bank account. Correct? So usually they used to mobilize this fund through friends or other circles. So here is an immediate requirement. So the travel agents guide them, saying that aap sahi bodhi ke paas jao, aapko aaj hi milega. So then they park that money. And then once we know if they're going abroad for job seeking, we know that they will have initial 3-4 months to settle in there, and after which, so we advise them, you take a Sahi Delight product, which is nothing but a bullet product from a banking.
Yeah.
But from a, we have categorized 3 product lines, Sahi Max, Sahi Delight and Sahi Flexi. We tell them, take a Delight product, you take a loan, after 6 months you can pay repayment together. So which product is ideal for them also we advise, they may not know.
Yeah.
From their perspective. This is where we come into picture. And then even if they have not asked, we give them that choice. That from our perspective, this is what is the right product. And then, of course, in each bank, we have a an access to their negative list. And then there is a dedupe that happens, existing, already products. All that information we get during the onboarding, so there are APIs integrations that we have done. So that if it is an existing customer, then the onboarding is, you get an access to their custody and all the information is
very quick. Yeah.
And any new information that we want, if the address is changed or something, that we capture. So all that we do as part of our onboarding.
And would you also look at, like, I understand customers who are new to gold loans from banks category, but they still have some sort of a, you know, credit history, albeit with NBFCs, right? Do you also look at customers who are like new to credit at large?
Yeah, so we also, that segment is...
I guess in this product category, it's slightly different because, I mean, so, that asset ownership comes, you know, usually...
We also are actively looking for new to credit. So definitely there's a large chunk that is... opening up where they would have gone to money lenders or NBFCs. And every time, and gold is a product where there's a high repeat. And they will never try a personal loan or any other product. So this is one way of exposing or giving them exposure to formal banking.
Right.
And then maybe give them access to more banking products going forward.
Is it,
you know, gold is a, it's got so much of cultural significance in the Indian context, right? Is it a challenge to establish clear ownership or map the gold versus the eventual owner? Because a lot of it is sort of, there's a lot of undocumented gold per se, right, through jewelry. So how, I mean, is that a challenge to sort of establish clear ownership of the gold?
See, right now, the recent purchases all have been, now there is GST coming into picture, so there is a bill that is available. But mostly we rely on the self-declaration of the people, and because that's a legal requirement also that the person declares that the gold is owned by them. And then we do our own Ricky also. So beyond every 3 lakh loan, we go and meet the customer's residence. So we have certain norms that we have, and if it is beyond 5 lakh, then 2 people go from our side to do a Ricky of the customer. So we do our own checks in terms of having the credentials of the customers known to us. But then from an ownership perspective, it is the industry practices self-declaration as of now.
And, you know, just you said, just to touch a little bit on the revenue model here, obviously you talked about there is no sort of fee that you take from the consumer or the borrower. So what is that of the the monetization model? Is it just sort of a very DSA-esque loan origination fee that you pick up from the eventual lenders?
No, there's a slight change compared to the DSAs. See, we are also helping the banks in terms of processing the loans faster. Mm-hmm. Okay, of course, one, we bring a volume.
Yeah.
So for which, so our revenue model is purely from the banks as of now. And that is into three broad buckets. One, we onboard the customer and then make that onboarding journey easier for the bank. And then we are bringing the business, for which there is a sourcing fee that we get. Combination of this tech part that we are bringing in to make that journey easier and the business that we are bringing. So you get a sourcing fee. We also get a share of the interest.
Okay.
There is a pre-agreed discussion with each of the bank in terms of what is the threshold overall portfolio that I'll bring in, which is a mix of ticket sizes as well as overall tenure that is linked. And then there is a broad category in terms of a minimum threshold. So any ROI that I bring at a portfolio level above that, we get a share of the interest. That's the second.
Okay.
Third is purely, which is an incentive on the volume. So you reach minimum this much of volume, and the moment you cross that, then there is a top up that is kicking in as a third leg. So these are three broad categories in terms of the revenue streams for us from the bank.
Right.
And there is no FLDG play here, right?
There's no FLDG.
So there's nothing, no assets, no loan portfolio is on your books, but you still collect an interest margin.
Correct.
A piece of it.
Okay. Yeah. So there are certain norms in terms of loan has to stay for a certain period of time, minimum threshold of 30 days, 45 days in each of the bank. If the loan gets closed within those 30 or 45 days, those get reversed in the subsequent hour payouts. But that's part of the business model that we have. That's a very small portion. So that's also, that's already built into our model. Yeah.
And at a portfolio level, what sort of average ticket size and tenure do you look at?
Yeah, so if you look at, so first few numbers that you quoted, totally we have done about 11,000 crore dispersal so far, out of which 4,000 crore was last year alone.
Right.
The biggest happened last year. And this year, already we are close to that number as of now in 7 months. And we are clocking close to 500 crore per month.
Right.
That's the run rate now. And we do about, so it varies month on month in terms of ticket size, but on an average, we are close to 4 lakh ticket size. Compared to our peers, we are one of the highest in terms of ATS.
Interesting.
And I guess at average, what, 60-65% LTV?
No, so LTV is close to about 68-70%. It differs from product to product, but on an average, I'll put around 68% LTV. Tenure is about 8 to 9 months now. It's slowly increasing. It used to be 6 months. Over a period of time, that is changing. So we would like to take it to as close to 1 year as possible.
Yeah, it's good for AUM.
Yes, because that's where, see, otherwise, there's a constant churn that is happening, but there is a high repeat also in this business.
Yeah.
But we are taking conscious efforts to educate people rather than you coming back every 3 months or 6 months where you are charged for processing fee. Why don't you keep the loan alive? And keep serving interest and utilize that money or take an OD product, which is long-term beneficial to them. It may not be of interest to us because from a short-term perspective, more number of times they come, I earn for every loan. But long-term, I believe we should give the value to the customer, give them the right advice. That's the differentiation that we have brought in.
And I was noticing that in terms of a product suite, I mean, one is obviously like a like the OD product that you mentioned. There was also mention of gold-backed credit cards and I think gold-backed investments. How do they actually, I mean, those were, that is actually a new category for me.
That's for the future.
Yeah.
So both credit card and the investment product is yet to be launched. That's something that we have planned for Q1 of next financial year.
Right.
So as of now, it is three broad categories that we have.
But what's the mechanics of a gold-backed credit card, just for understanding?
No, it's like ease of you can give them a credit line and make that money available in their account, but then they get charged for the entire disbursement, right?
Right.
Wherein I would say gold-backed credit card is nothing like an OD product that you have. You draw it and then you pay back.
Right.
And you, as you consume, you pay.
Right.
But you're not charged for the full consumption. Right?
Right.
Otherwise, in a traditional way, if you say 3 lakh disbursement, that money is already dispersed, then you're paying for that interest from day one.
Right.
Wherein in a credit limit or in an OD or a credit card, you'll pay only if you consume.
Yeah.
But that limit is available.
Right.
That's
right.
The change.
Right. And, but what's the role of the gold there in the sense, in the CC product?
It's only a security.
It's just a security. Yep. Right. It provides basically you some underwriting.
But then what we are trying to do also is there is a large proportion of gold that is sitting idle.
Yeah.
They may not need any loan.
Yeah.
So how do I incentivize them to bring that gold and park it in their bank and then we assess it and then give them a limit already available.
Yeah.
And anytime in future, if they want to avail, they don't have to come to the bank.
Yeah.
Click of a button, convert that locker to a...
There's a value-added angle which comes.
Yes.
Right. Yes. But, so, I mean, in terms of your edge, is it... I mean, I understand it's a tech-enabled assisted journey for the customer. There is a fair amount of, you know, onboarding, heavy lifting that's done by you. So is reach, the fact that you have feet on the street in tier 2, tier 3, semi-urban areas, that becomes like a moat for you in the long term from a business standpoint?
Yeah, if you see, our nearest competitor is only in 50 cities, wherein we are in 600 plus locations. And we have identified close to about 2,000 locations where we want to be. And these are all tier 3 and beyond. So, and gold loan requires that physical... in-person discussions to convince the customer. So our moat is a combination of both online as well as offline. Largely offline, where we have feet on street, and they are all on our rolls. We have created our Saibandhu officers in the 600 plus locations.
Right.
For others to come to our locations, we are anticipating the competition is welcome. But then they will take, so any location, if you operate, it will take about 8 to 12 to 15 months sometime for break-even, for you to establish your presence, brand. So by the time others come in, then we foresee ourselves covering almost 2,000 locations in next 1 year. So that's the moat. It's a long-term play. Our experience of managing financial inclusion business in semi-urban and rural, that's come in handy.
Yes.
We know how to get people onboarded as our employees and manage them remotely without any physical offices.
Right.
Tech plays a role in terms of enabling them with all the choices where they can get on a click of button to explain to the customer in the assisted journey. And for us also to monitor what's happening in every location. Every lead is punched by the team, so we know how much of the lead that is in the pipeline and what stage it is. Everything is monitored remotely for us centrally.
And
what's happening across these 600 locations is available for us.
And in terms of growth, will that be the way forward to kind of go deeper into multiple locations? Or
so we will have growth coming in from expanding to newer locations, definitely one. And then growth from repeat base also. Our repeat is still, there is room, cushion available for us to increase the repeat base.
Right.
And then online also, there is almost 4 to 5% of the loans are through online channel. We'll continue to invest in online channel and then grow.
Right.
There's also another alliance channel that is open up, largely to do with personal loan aggregators. There's a lot of rejection that happens. They are a ready base for us. So those leads also come to us. And then we convince them to go for a gold loan.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, what I was kind of curious to know was that, you know, we have seen both trajectories, right? We have seen lending businesses which start as a traditional feet on the street NBFC lending on their own books, then gradually become, you know, tech enabled or digitally assisted. And obviously there's the fintech journey where, you know, we see people taking more of a lead origination or a DSA approach, and then eventually doing captive lending themselves. So is kind of taking a is kind of going the NBFC route, and you know, getting more part of the meaty interest income, is that of interest for you in the future, or you would like to focus on basically being more of a aggregation / platform play?
Yeah, thanks for this question. This is always there debate. So are we leaving some value on the table?
Especially because I think gold loans are, I mean, in terms of like from a volume margin standpoint, it gets more interesting,
if you look at
right?
Manapuram and all,
yeah.
Their average ROA is in the range of 22 to 24%. Customers are ready to pay.
Yeah.
But then we see almost a large chunk of such customers later realize I should have gone to a bank. And now with a lot of advertisements that are happening, holdings that they see, brand, so they can get definitely in the range of 12 to 14%. So, so that value transfer, so far our belief has been, and we continue to believe that we need to give value to the customer. So eventually, if we have to take the NBFC route, then you will have to play in the same range as the biggest that are there.
Yeah.
But we are very clear that we would like to be an aggregator and a platform.
Interesting.
We have an NBFC in the group.
Yeah.
Which we have parked, and we are utilizing that for balance transfer takeovers as of now.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not counting that as part of the business. That's only a takeover for a one-day, intraday, or a two-day funding that we do and help them to shift.
Right.
So that is something that we are utilizing. We have an NBFC available at any point of time if you have to take that route.
Right.
But we're very clear as of now, the value proposition that we have is giving the right choice to customer. That right choice is possible only through banks because they have the advantage of capital compared to NBFCs. The best rates can be given by...
So you would rather be agnostic to the provider than...
Provider.
Yeah.
What we see is banks lack the tech play.
Got it.
And that convenience at customer doorstep, which NBFCs used to give. But NBFCs couldn't give the best, the ROI.
Yeah.
So we are trying to mix both.
Yeah.
Bring in the tech and the convenience which NBFCs brought and give the best ROI which the banks can give to the customer. So they get both sides that we can bring in.
You know, but... I mean, just to take a contrary, the NBFCs would argue, right? I mean, the reason we are pricing it at 20-25% is that they were not getting that 12-14% from traditional banks in the first place. So for them, it's almost like unbanked or, you know, a new set of... so it and eventually, like Rajesh, I mean, irrespective whether you go captive or not, but as you sort of go deeper and deeper, I mean, there will be an upward movement in your IRRs as well, right? I mean, the riskiness, I mean... I'm not using the word likely, but the sort of profile will become slightly more challenging as you sort of expand the loan book, not your own loan book, but even
overall.
Yes. So how do you sort of, I mean, how do you sort of see that? Like it seems like an inevitable way to sort of grow, right?
Yes. See, we'll have to keep customers' interest in mind. You're right. NBFCs have played a major role. From moving people from unorganized to organized. That shift NBFCs brought in, definitely. But then they have to operate at a cost structure because they have cost for funds as well as operational. If you see, it's one product. Their entire branch infra that they have built will have to be met operationally using one product. So they have to price it at a higher. But that's where you have seen the pressure. They are stagnant.
But now they're diversifying, right? As a response.
Yeah,
like if you look at Muthoot and Manappuram, now they're
the other products.
Equipment finance book and all that is also growing.
Yeah. So they are forced to sell other products, right?
Yeah.
So they're seeing the pressure.
Yeah.
Wherein for a bank, if you see bank branch is already there, lockers are available.
Yeah.
There is a infra that they have built. So all they expect is a walk-in or a incoming traffic for gold loan. So that they can utilize that. Because if you look at it from a bank's perspective, most of the products have become digital. Where the customer is not expected to visit branch at all.
Yes.
Yeah. Be it auto loan, housing, everything happens at customer's doorstep. And they rarely come to bank. Signing, everything happens. Now, which are the products that then what will happen to the bank infra that they have built?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is one product that fits in that category. So banks see this as a complementary product for them. And then this is a low ticket, low tenure. They can't put a huge workforce to attract this customer because it will not give them that return. That's where players like us are bringing that volume to them. So they'll encourage we playing that role of aggregating and bringing it to bank. And then we would like to price the product very close to, and we're working with banks sometime now, suggesting them some changes, tweaks that they have to do in their product, keeping the customer's interest. So, yes, there will be some stage gradually the IRRs will move. And we are seeing that shift already happening from the banks for a portfolio. But still, there will be a gap between them to NBFCs.
Sure.
So, that gap will exist. As long as that gap exists, we have a role to play in terms of giving that clear value to customer. Why not NBFC? Why bank?
Right.
We'll see how it plays in the future. As of now, we are doing good, but we're keeping our options open.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, a last question to you would be on capital. You obviously are, you're kind of corporate backed, right? When it comes to lending as a business, it's not the most venture capital friendly category. Right. So how are you viewing fundraising journey to date and in the future, in the sense that have you gone through the venture route at some point in time, or is that something that you want to do going forward, or is it going to be more a question of internal accruals plus the fact that there is a conglomerate / corporate investor on your cap table, those resources can be tapped to scale.
So Manipal Group backing definitely helps when it comes to relationship with top bankers. And my own stint with the group in the past, where I played a role of creating multiple businesses, all have been in BFSI. So that came in handy. But from an operational perspective, it's like any other business which is independently run. Only from a capital perspective. So all the functions are in Gurgaon. So except for the treasury function that we rely on from the group, there is nothing else that we are dependent on. And there's a board representation from the group perspective, which like any other function, the business gets reviewed.
Yes.
And there is a commitment in terms of, so when this entity was created also, we had a clear 2 to 3 year roadmap for which we will require capital for growth. And there will be a stage up to where we will reach at certain point of time, there is a break-even that is expected to reach. And there's a clear commitment from the group to support us in that journey.
Right.
So that we should grow exponentially without waiting for the markets to open up. We have to create markets.
Got it.
But at the same time, the group also has fund allocation for various businesses.
Yes.
Or there are businesses which are well established. So there's an allocation that happens.
Yeah.
Beyond a point, then we have to raise capital from outside. Coming to your question. So we went through the journey of having an investment banker identified. So earlier this year, and we went through, since group has access to all the IBs for various businesses, so it becomes easier to go through that journey. So we have identified an IB, appointed. There's a work that is happening now in terms of who are the likely investors that we should reach out. Is it VCs or PEs? Or there are certain other categories that are available. So those discussions are already on now in terms of reaching out to the market. We will be doing it sometime in Q4 of this
last quarter.
Early reach outs, and then Q1 of next financial year is where we are looking to raise funds. So initial fund requirement would be in the range of about $18 to $20 million.
Got it.
Is what we are expecting. And the fundraise is mainly to take care of the growth.
Yeah.
To accelerate the growth.
Right.
We come from a background where
I guess it's more to do with building up the on ground infra, right? I mean, that would be primarily a
user. So there is a tech portion. There is a branding and marketing, that online journey that we have to do, and morely to do accelerate. So if I have to conventionally grow this 600 locations to 2,000 locations may take 2.5 to 3 years.
Yeah.
But if I have adequate capital available, then I can grow within 1 year.
Right.
So why wait for the market? So that's where. So we're well all set now to do that reach outs from January.
Right. No, no, we wish you all the best and, you know, larger and more significant milestones in the future. We'll be definitely tracking your business from the sidelines and cheering for you. Thank you so much, Rajesh, for your time. And this was a very fascinating chat. And with that, it's Nikhil Arora and with me, Sharad Tupran, signing off.